How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm Ben Cohen. I'm here with Dom and Bola.
Yo, what's up, boys?
And Micah Lovanos.
Yo.
Good to be back on another NFL segment with the same crew. Excited to get at it again. So in the NFL, we've got some, you know, you could say it was a slow week, or you could say it had some things going on. We've definitely got plenty to talk about. And it's headlined by an interesting story at Cam Newton's camp this week. Now, one of the campers, you've probably seen the video, was, you know, heckling Cam, and he, I mean, he didn't take kindly to it, and to be honest, I wouldn't either. So I want to take this in two different directions. The first thing I want to talk about is, are we more of the mold of this is funny? Are we more of the mold of this was disrespectful? This is a, you know, not the kind of thing that you want to see from people who are being taught by the people that they want to be, right? Like, if you're in a 7-on-7 camp, you want to be Cam Newton. You want to be a first-round draft pick. So is that a problem? Like, do you have a problem with him with the heckling, or do you think it's funny?
I think that you could go both ways here, just because as someone being in the younger generation, I would say, yeah, this is pretty funny. But at the same time, if I'm looking at it from Cam's side of view, I would say, yeah, it's disrespectful. And from his side of view, I would say, why the hell are you at my camp right now if you're just going to heckle at me? I think that this kid obviously was not raised right, because I would never do anything like that. And I doubt that you guys would either, because it's obviously disrespectful. You're at this guy's camp and you're trying to learn from him. What do you think he's going to do when you heckle at him? He's going to hate you for one. Two, he's not going to teach you. And three, you just ruined your career. And I saw that he apologized. I think it came out on ESPN that he apologized for his actions. And I truly believe that wasn't because he wanted to apologize.
I know, it was such a weak apology. I have the apology in front of me. He said, like, he said it was a huge miscommunication. He was making excuses for himself. I really didn't think it was genuine.
No, it wasn't.
I think this is, I'm kind of different from you guys, because I do think that it's kind of disrespectful, but I just think this looks bad on Cam. Because, like, I think you kind of have to be the bigger guy in that situation. You just kind of have to, like, you have to take and be like, this is probably disrespectful. You probably shouldn't be doing it, but you can't. If you're going to, like, you can tease him back a little bit, but you can't get personal like that. And I don't think it's a very good look for him.
I don't know if he got that personal. He just said, I'm rich and you're not.
He didn't get personal, but he got, I think,
Micah,
he kind of.
I agree with you. Yeah. I do agree with you that I think that Cam probably should have been the bigger man there, being the man, you know, with children at his camp.
Yeah, well, what the hell does he care about?
But what I will say, what I will say is I think that we should spend, I think the attention for this situation should lie more with, to me, the issue with a kid at a camp that Cam Newton doesn't have to be at, that he's there, you know, on his own dollar to be nice to the kids.
I mean,
to teach him how to play football. No, it's a volunteer work. Dominic, it's volunteer work. He's not doing it.
Then where does all the money go?
He has to. It's Jared? I don't know, like, the details.
I guarantee
of the camp.
You that camp was not for free.
But he doesn't have, it's not for free, but I don't think the money goes to Cam. I'm not entirely sure, but I think maybe it's a charity thing, but either way, he doesn't have to be there. He's there because he is trying to give back to the community. And I think that it's such an ingrateful way to look at it. It's not, you have to look at, there were a lot of NFL players that were sort of standing up to Cam and just being like, this is not the look that you want from the next generation of NFL players. Like, though, that guy, whoever's heckling him and those guys next to him, they all want what Cam has. Number one overall draft pick, Heisman winner.
Money.
MVP. Like, that's what you're at a 7v7 tournament with this dude who's got it all. That's not the look I think you're going for. I think it's a really bad look for the kid, and not so for Cam. You're right. I think he could have been the bigger man, but I don't think that's where we should be, you know, putting our attention.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, Micah, I do agree with you. He could have been the bigger man, just like Ben said, and how he spewed about that. But my attention is on this kid because he did a worse thing than Cam Newton. If he didn't do what he did, I think all the attention would be on Cam and he would be getting the shade. But since this kid went above and beyond disrespecting Cam, all the spotlight was at him. And like I said before, his apology was not true to himself. And I think that he still means what he said. I could be, by all means, I could be wrong. But from what I read and what you guys read, I think that that apology was made up by his coach, by his parents, so his career was not done.
Well, I just, you guys are right. I think, honestly, we're both right, and I think it should have been both ways. I think the kid should have been saying it, and Cam should have been the bigger person. I just think there's no way that Cam went through the whole season and he didn't get hackled 10 times more than what happened that day. People were probably calling him all different types of things. I think it just kind of shows that he's a little bit soft. A little bit. I'm not calling him soft. But, like, I don't know. I think you have to have a little bit thicker skin if you're
a, QB.
If you're a QB and you had a season as bad as he did, you have to have really thick skin. So
yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of disagree with you because you brought up a point of saying he's gotten this throughout the season and I haven't seen one time when he's responded back to it.
But we don't know. We don't know that.
We do know.
It could have been the first time that it's been on. It could have been the first time that it's been on video.
That's not true. Everything's getting videotaped in the 20th century.
Anyway,
not something that happens.
The biggest news of this week, as big as, you know, Cam Newton's camp was one of the, I don't think he won the MVP that year, but I could be wrong. But the man who led the Eagles to the playoffs, even if he didn't win the Super Bowl for them, he's got a ring. His name is Carson Wentz, and he was traded to the Indianapolis Colts for, I believe, a third and a conditional second that can become a first with details that we don't really know. Do we like the trade? Do we not like the trade? Micah, what do you think?
Did you guys see what Michael Pittman said?
Well, because, yeah, they Michael Pittman's him, keeping his number.
It was a small thing. They asked him about the number, and he was like, he's not getting 11. I don't know. He's not starting out a good foot, but
I think it's all jokes,
honestly. Ben, I feel like this was one of the teams that we... Do we have him as an option going to the Colts in our rule?
Yeah, I thought he would stay in Philadelphia. I didn't think they'd be able to offload him. But I think it makes sense in Indy. I think, like, people were talking, like, I don't think it's out of thin air, you know?
Yeah, no,
I agree. Do you like it? Do you like the fit in Indy?
I think it's a good team, and he'll be in a good position where he can kind of, he has the ability to take a chance, and he has a backup in Jacoby Brissett. So, like, he can kind of go out there and not
really
play
control. Well, I think Brissett's a free agent.
Oh, he is.
But, I mean, either way, like, I do agree with you that the Colts sort of give him, like, that floor to fall back on where there's a good team around him. Domin, what do you think?
I could care less about Carson Wentz going to the Colts. I care more about Jalen Hurts now with the Eagles and being maybe the starter. We don't know yet because the Eagles are a pretty bad franchise and they do screw up most things that come good to them, so we never know. But I think things are looking good for Jalen Hurts. I personally love that kid. I watched him when he played. I don't know who he played, but he had some pretty good games in the NFL once he started to start. I think that Jalen Hurts has the attributes to become a star quarterback. His ceiling is this high. He's not one of those guys like Jimmy Garoppolo where his ceiling is this high. Jalen Hurts' ceiling is through the roof, and I think that he could be a potential top 10 quarterback coming out of the season. See, that's definitely a stretch, but that is my prediction. I was right with Justin Herbert saying he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I predicted that before he started playing, and this is my bold prediction for the next season.
The interesting thing about Jalen Hurts tonight, I had to come back to this once. I was like, I don't know if he's legit. He really had to, like, force his way into that position. Yes, Carson Wentz was playing bad, but Doug Peterson loves Carson Wentz, and he kind of had to give him as many chances as possible. And I think if you're an average quarterback, you don't really get those same opportunities that Jalen Hurts got. I think on that note, I think that he is legit. I don't know, top 10 next season? Maybe.
I know, that was a stretch
for me. It depends. Really, it depends like that, what, though. But it depends what the Eagles go out and do, because their receiving core is,
that's
like,
all true.
Non-existent. We don't even know where Zach Ertz is going to go. Maybe he's going to the Colts.
I mean, what draft pick do they have?
I don't know what their cap is.
Well, the Eagles could.
Eagles are definitely top 15, no?
Yeah, for sure.
And if they draft a QB, they're just going to be playing out stupid.
I don't think they will. I think the they'll Eagles. Draft a why would receiver.
They? No, I don't think they draft a QB.
I don't know if they truly believe in Jalen Hurts.
I don't think the position they're in is good enough, and I think Jalen Hurts is worth a season. Get like a vet, maybe like Ryan Fitzgerald to back up.
I mean, if I'm them, I'm going to go with a good offensive player to pair with Jalen Hurts. Because offensive line? I don't think their offensive line is anything.
No, it's
special.
Not. Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, I like the take about Jalen Hurts being a top, could, you know, stretching to be a top 10. While I think that is a stretch, you've made that clear that it's definitely bold. The reason that I like it is I think it's a two-way street, right? Where I think the Eagles put him in a really, really difficult place to succeed. But also, like you said, he's succeeded. Granted, only in a couple of games, but he's succeeded. That being said, I look at it the other way as well. I think it works both ways, where I think, the Eagles are putting him in a really difficult place to succeed. And as good as he is, as good as he can be, we've yet to see, more than a couple games out of him. I think their struggles give him a ceiling. You saw that with Deshaun Watson in Houston. He was fantastic. He put up almost an MVP season on a team that won four games, which is why I think the Eagles will hold him back, which is why it'll be interesting to see, like, if he has a season that looks but really, if you're looking at it behind the scenes, that's a good season on a really bad team because he's got no help. Maybe the Eagles move on from him because they think that he's the problem, but really he's not. So that could be interesting if they hold on to him from a year and for another year, and next year they think, all right, he's not the answer.
I love the firing of Doug Peterson. That needed to happen.
Yeah, but then they hired a yes man. I mean, they hired the Colts offensive coordinator, that guy they can push around. I mean, that's not a guy that was coveted. I don't even remember his name. And like,
he's a good offensive coordinator. You see, the Colts are pretty good.
Okay, Ben.
But their defensive coordinator was the one that was the coordinator that was getting job offers. The Eagles hired, like, Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll were the premier targets going into this offseason. And both of them are still their coordinators at their respective jobs in Buffalo and in Kansas City. If Brian Daboll wanted to go to Philadelphia, they would have hired him. The Eagles hired that guy for two reasons. One, they want someone that they can tell what to do because they want to make sure they're empowered, not him. Second of all, they wanted to hire someone that wanted to go there because everyone knows that you're setting yourself up for failure if you go to Philadelphia. Now, completely flipping the script, quickly I want to go back to Carson Wentz because Carson Wentz is being put in an easy, easy place to succeed in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You're right that maybe they could use another receiver, and I think they'll draft one. I hope they draft one because I like T.Y. Hilton, and I hope they re-sign him. I think they
might love Michael Pittman.
And like Michael Pittman as well, but he's got a ways to go in his development to be a number one.
They're one player away.
I agree with you, but I think they can add someone else to that.
Their offensive line is superb.
Their offensive line is superb. Their defense is top 10. Maybe if you get DeForest Buckner healthy for most of the season, then you can get even a top 5 defense out of
running back, they're going to be set for the next few years.
Exactly. So that's what I was saying about the Colts is, as much as I don't think Philip Rivers was the reason they lost against the Bills. He really wasn't. He played well against the Bills in the playoffs. He was holding them back last season in general. So Carson Wentz is this wild card because he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a season or two and regressed in an unprecedented fashion. We just talked about the Eagles and we said they put quarterbacks in a position to fail. So let's see what happens with Carson Wentz when they put him in a position to succeed.
I feel as though that the Colts could have done a little better.
And I agree with you, though.
I think if I'm a Colts fan, I'm like, Carson Wentz? Like, really? We're like one player away, and you decide now is it? I think You don't give the guy who needs a chance now. Because you're about to be that... Because the Colts are very... I don't know if... They probably do realize, but Colts are very close to being, like, up there with the Bills
and the Chiefs. Yeah, they really are. They really
are. If they had gone out and gotten someone... We were saying last week, if they had gone out and, like, made the splash for Derek Carr or someone, who, like, elite...
Stafford.
They could have been... Yeah, they could have been set for five years. I think now... You don't really know where they're going to be. You don't know if they're going to flop. I said this a couple
weeks ago. If they traded for Deshaun Watson, whatever they gave up, they would have been my Super Bowl favorites. 100%.
Yeah, but the only problem is the Texans are not willing to move their
biggest pieces. You're right. And it's difficult when you're the Colts as well.
And I believe...
Their picks are less valuable because they're later in the draft. You're right.
I mean, I think the Texans would decline and offer like a star QB and a bunch of firsts. I don't even think they're looking to shop Deshaun Watson, even if they're winning by a mile. I don't think that's something that they want to do.
What I will say about the Colts, and I could be say that, I mean, I could totally be dead wrong, because as much as I'm not a fan of Carson Wentz, I also, you know, I've just said, like, he's being put in a position to succeed, so I would really not be shocked if he did. I've said this constantly, and I'll say it again. If I'm choosing between taking a chance on Carson Wentz and taking a chance on Sam Darnold, I'm taking a chance on Sam Darnold. I would have rather Indy went for Sam Darnold than Carson Wentz. It would have cost them just a little bit more. It would have cost them a second, and a fifth for Sam Darnold. But I'll give you two reasons why. One, he's on his rookie deal. He's still on his rookie deal. And the second reason is part of the same reason. He's got one more year left. So if it doesn't work, you just let him walk. And all you gave up was a second round pick. Okay, maybe you gave up like a bottom end starter that can be, you know, that can grow into a really good player. Yeah, the Colts have drafted really well, but they've also done really good jobs with their trade. They traded their last year's first round pick for DeForest Buckner. 2 years ago, they drafted Fred Warner with their second round pick. I mean, that's one of the best value drafts in, you know, draft picks that we've seen in the last 10 years. Jonathan Taylor late in the first round last year. Quentin Nelson, the 6th overall pick, one of the best linemen in the draft, one of the best linemen in the league. They've done really well, and all they need is a quarterback. And all they got to do is get it right. Something tells me Sam Darnold was the guy. I would love to see him in San Francisco, but I also would have loved to see him in Indy. I want to see him put in a position where he can succeed, because the Jets just did not give him that.
I don't know if you guys touched base on this. I don't know. I was here last week, but just quickly touching base to Matt Stafford. I want to hop on the David train right now. I'm going to say that they are close to Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, I thought they were Super Bowl contenders before Jared Goff fell off too.
And like, now Matt, I remember saying that. Did you guys see that? Did you guys see the stat where the only player that was close to Matthew Stafford, or that was on the level of Matthew Stafford, was Aaron Rodgers? If you're looking just purely at stats and like efficiency and all that stuff, there was no other player that was above those two. And by that analyzation, I believe that Matthew Stafford is a top five quarterback, and I will still praise that to this day.
Yeah.
I believe that he can lead them to a Super Bowl, and if he does, I see a bright future for the Rams. The only downside is that he's 33 and aging, and 33 is not
the ideal age. Is it a stretch to say if he wins a Super Bowl? I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl, to me, he's a Hall of Famer.
No, not yet. I would say he has to win at least two.
He's got the stats. The only knock against him is that he's never played an important game in his life.
And that's why he's not a Hall of Famer.
So give him a Super Bowl. He'll play important games. Give him
two Super Bowls. Two Super Bowls and he's a Hall of Famer.
We'll see.
Maybe if he has an outstanding season and the Super Bowl.
Anyway, there are two things that we want to get. Two more things that we want to get to. But we'll do that after the break. Welcome back. So for the second half of this episode, I want to keep it in the AFC East. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about J.J. Watt, so you may be able to tell where I'm going. I think he would fit really well with the Bills. We talked about him going to the Steelers last week. We talked about him going to the Packers last week. But really quickly, I just want to state my case, and you can agree with me, you can disagree with me. I just want to see what you all think. Now, to me, you saw the Chiefs, their last two games, obviously. They lost the Super Bowl to the Bucs. Before that, they beat the Bills. Destroyed the Bills, and then got destroyed by the Bucs. Now, they got destroyed by the Bucs. One of those matchups that they lost was their offensive line got torched by the Bucs' defensive line. And the Bills' defensive line is measly. Patrick Mahomes had all day to throw in the AFC Championship game. The Bills might lose some pieces if they to, you know, to sign J.J. Watt. They might have to cut some guys. But to me, the defensive line is just a game changer. Because I've talked about it ad nauseum, that when you make it into the playoffs, it's about matchups. And the matchup to beat the Chiefs is to beat them off the off the rush with four guys. And they can't do that right now, but they can with J.J. Watt. So I don't want to lose anyone, but you know, that's what you have to do when the salary cap's $20 million lower than it was expected to be. To me, if you sign J.J. Watt, you give yourself that opportunity to get to Patrick Mahomes. And that's a game changer. That's just a game changer. And I think he would do it because, I mean, there's reports that there's mutual interest. The Bills are a Super Bowl contender. We established that last year. They're not getting worse. And if you add J.J. Watt, I think that's a position of need. It's a position that was well documented in the Super Bowl that would beat the Buccaneers. I think it's too good of a fit to pass up, even if it means not being able to re-sign some of their guys. I think it's a perfect match. What do you think?
It's not somewhere that he's going to go, my personal opinion. I believe that the two teams left in this race are the Steelers 1 and Browns 2. We didn't talk about the Browns last week. None of us actually predicted that. And then 2 days later, a report came out saying that J.J. Watt is seriously considering going to the Browns and signing with them. And I think Myles Garrett and J.J. Watt is just as dirty as T.J. Watt and J.J. Watt. And I think if he goes... You would
love to see that link up, though.
I mean, yeah. Both of them are absolutely sick. Incredible. As much as Ben probably wants some, as much as Ben probably wants J.J. going to the Bills, I just don't see a good fit there.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fit will be nice once he gets there, but the problem is, how do you get him there? For one, we don't even know if he wants to go to the Bills. And two,
no, how we much... do. There's the reports say that there's mutual interest. Watt wants the Bills, and the Bills want Watt. All right,
that's fine. Even if it's a mutual interest, it's not at the top of his list. And second,
it's going to be hard for the Bills to
afford. How many guys? Yeah, that's what I was about to say. How many guys are you going to have to give up? And you have to remember that this guy is aging. He only has 3 more prime years, and you guys don't have that many old players. You're kind of a younger team, from what I remember. And I wouldn't give up any of those young pieces for an aging J.J. Watt that would give me 3 years, unless you guys want to go for the Super Bowl and be done. Because you're going to end up screwing yourself in the next 3 years.
But to your point, Domin, I would say that if this had been the Bills, maybe not this year, but the year before that, I would say don't take the risk. But I think now that we know that the Bills do have that potential, and I really think it's just going to, in my personal opinion, I really think it's just going to be the Chiefs and the Bills again. It might be worth it to go for that push. And even though he only has 3 years left, I think, like, you still, it's not like this is your only year. You can still come back and, you know, try to work it out again. And I think what we saw from the Bucks is that, you know, Patrick was saying pressure is key, and you get J.J. Watt, you get even more pressure than you had before. And I think in that sense, it might be worth it, but I still don't think he's going to go to the Bills. I think he's going to go to, the Packers or the Steelers. But yeah, I think it would be a good fit, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right, staying in the AFC East. We're starting to switch into draft mode a little bit. We assume the Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence at 1. The Jets at 2 is kind of a conundrum, because we've talked about Sam Darnold, we've talked about whether the Jets would draft Zach Wilson, whether the Jets would draft Justin Fields, whether the Jets would draft Devonta Smith. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think probably you trade the pick if you keep Sam Darnold, but I think they're going to trade Sam Darnold and draft a quarterback. Micah, last week you said you think they're going to keep Sam Darnold. So are they going to trade the pick, Micah, or are they going to draft? And if they're going to draft, who are they going to draft at number 2? Are they going to draft another offensive lineman? Are they going to draft
maybe you receiver? Go for Penny. Maybe you go at 2 for Penny Sewell, because he's obviously
that's
the
a
best
good option to partner
Mekhi offensive
Becton.
Lineman in the draft. That or you go for. I've been hearing a lot of reports that Devonta Smith is not the guy on everyone's number 1 on everyone's board. I mean, there's a bunch of good receivers. Maybe
so are you looking at Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle.
So who's your probably pick at
Devonta,
number two?
Probably Devonta Smith in the end. I think, actually, I'm going to go with my point before. I think that if the Jets do end up keeping Sam Darnold, they'll go for Penei Sewell. Because I think that's just, like, the most sensible option. Which will make it interesting, because I think a lot of people see him going to the Bengals. But
Donovan, yeah. What say you?
I mean, there's a bunch of options. And not getting the first overall pick kind of screwed them over, because it's a no-brainer to take Trevor Lawrence. And I think anyone would in that position, even if they have a pretty good QB. But now they're here, and there's nothing they can do about it. So they have to go for the best player available. I think that best player available is Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. I'm going with the QB. I'm going with Zach Wilson.
And who do you think the Jets are going to trade Darnold to?
I didn't really think about that.
See, I said San Francisco last week.
I mean, are they going to be able to find a trade where they get the value that they need?
I think they will. I think there's a lot of reports that I wanted to touch on this really quickly.
I mean, what is he worth?
To me, he's worth a second and a fifth or a sixth.
I mean, if I'm San Francisco, what am I doing with Jimmy G then?
Jimmy G, you trade.
Yeah, so then who's going to take Jimmy G?
To me, I think so the reports that came out were that the Jets have fielded offers on Sam Darnold, and that they fielded offers that are legitimate, and that they haven't decided yet, because first they want to go to the pro days for Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, and obviously Trevor Lawrence in case something miraculous happens. Now, to me, the way I look at it is if you're a Jets fan, whether you're Darnold in, Darnold out, I think that's the right call. You wait to meet the quarterbacks. It's like watching the movie Draft Day, only in real life. You have to go through the paces with those guys, see what you have, see what you can get, and then you pull the trigger on Sam Darnold. I think there's nothing wrong with taking the time that the Jets have, and then executing what I think is probably inevitable, that they're going to trade Darnold, even though Micah disagrees. And draft, I agree with you, Domin. I think they'll draft Zach Wilson. Now, we're going to stop after this one. This is the last thing we're going to do today. The third overall pick is the bigger conundrum that is surprising to everyone. So the Dolphins have this pick because they got it from the Texans, which is funny because the Dolphins are a good team. The Bengals are at four. No, the Falcons are at four. The Bengals are at five. The Dolphins are actually good and the Texans aren't. The Texans need this third pick way more than the Dolphins do. But the Dolphins have it. They could draft a quarterback and trade Tua. They could draft a quarterback and not trade Tua.
I'm not doing that. I'm going with my offensive lineman.
So you're taking Penei Sewell.
Penei Sewell off the board. And if Penei Sewell's gone, I'm going with Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase.
Micah, what about you?
I would probably... I have Penei Sewell going too. I would agree with Domin if he doesn't go number two overall, but I would probably put... Even though I don't think
he's you the had best him trading. Thing. You had him trading this pick, right? For Deshaun Watson. Last week we talked about it. Go check out the podcast if you haven't seen it.
I had Tua and so this would be the Texans.
So if the Texans
I think either way you go for a receiver here. Just because there's a good chance that Fuller is going out too. I think Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith, only because there's risk, but he had such an amazing season that he could be really good.
Go ahead.
Or Jamar Chase, what Domin said.
Really quick, I'm looking back at the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I'm thinking, what the heck did they do to themselves?
Oh,
like it gets worse horrible. And worse every single day. At first I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty bad for them. And now today, DeAndre Hopkins being the second best wide receiver in the league, I'm like, how'd they mess this up? And now you're making your star QB mad, and you just released your maybe a top five defensive player in the league or defensive lineman in the league. Everything has went downhill since D-Hop has left. You got an old David Johnson who's practically done nothing. You got picks that I don't know if they turned out to anything. or maybe their future picks, but yet nothing has happened with them. And
I think the David Johnson part was the worst.
Oh, this part. Team yeah, is in they, this team is in
they
turmoil.
Just took on he had a larger contract
yeah,
that, too, I think.
Yeah.
He wasn't even good themselves. Whatsoever.
And who was the coach that did this? It was
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien, right.
So just to clarify, Micah, you have Deshaun Watson being traded to the Dolphins, so the Texans will be picking with the third pick, with their original third pick, and they will be taking DeVonta Smith. I think the Dolphins are keeping Tua another year. I think it's the wrong choice, but I think that's what they're going to do. I think they'll draft a wide receiver, and I also think it's going to be DeVonta Smith. I think I couldn't tell you if that. I think with those three guys that we mentioned, with Smith, Waddle, and Chase, you can't really go wrong. They're all similar in quality. I think they're all fantastic. I don't think that there's a significant difference there. I think just when it, like, that's what every scout is saying, right? Like when there's no consensus there. I think you're winning either way, and I think the Dolphins go with the Heisman winner. That makes sense. But the other thing that I will say though is when Brian Flores makes a pick, like, the Dolphins are just doing everything right now, so I'll trust it. Like, as much as I don't think keeping Tua is the right choice, if that's what Brian Flores does, I'll trust it, because I think that's the kind of thing that, you know what I mean? Like,
he's a good
disagree,
coach.
You disagree, but you give him the benefit of the doubt because he's done everything right so far. You know, Belichick disciple.
Everyone coming out of Belichick has been
the Dolphins. I mean, can you imagine amazing. The Dolphins could end up could be a contender this year? They have cap room. They could
that.
Sign. They could sign J.J. Watt. They don't need J.J. Watt, but they could sign J.J. Watt. They could sign one of the star receivers.
Right now, they need offensive linemen. I can't express that anymore. But one main reason why Tua just was not good last season was because he was getting beat up on the offensive side of the ball, and every single play he practically had pressure on him, and maybe it wasn't shown on the TV, but if you watched everything back, you could see that, oh yeah, he was running back and forth, and that's why he didn't really have accurate passes, and that's why he was throwing interceptions and all that stuff, getting sacked. It's just, I think, I'm still in the boat of him not being a great QB, but I think a large portion of that was because of the offensive line.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I think that's a good pick if they take Penei Sewell. I went back and forth whether they'll take him or DeVonta Smith. I think you can't go wrong, like I said before. Or they'll trade him. And I think, again, like, you trust Brian Flores. Whatever he does with that pick, it's going to be something good. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at TheOfficialHurryUp, where we post daily content about the NFL. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NFL as well. Also, go follow us on Twitter, @_TheHurryUp, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis. And on TikTok, @TheHurryUp as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NFL segments every Wednesday, bonus content on the weekend, and our NBA segment next Monday. Thanks again, and see you all next week.